come order. Welcome everybody that's here. We hope you're all happy at the end of the day. We'll start with roll call. Don Metzler here. Thomas Ambrose.
Here.
Nicholas Quinn.
Here.
George Ellis.
Here.
Very good.
Here.
Sharon Trill. Well, I'll call for a motion to approve the meeting's minutes of the June 28th meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Okay. Motion made. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Noel, good to you.
All right, tonight we have 7 hearings. Two were postponed from last month's meeting. The first one is Z220043, petition of Lake Shoreville. The subject property is located at 8702 North State Route 159 in Dorsey, County Board District 5, and is already agricultural. This one was postponed at the last meeting for them to have the survey done of the property to make sure where the property lines are. He is requesting a variance to construct an accessory structure 4 feet from the south property line instead of the required 15 feet. There are not any violations, and staff has received one letter of support from a neighbor. And one question.
Have we heard? These are the first time we've heard them, but
no.
Yeah, so that's my bait, but they're just on our agenda now. But did we do them right in order? Just take them like they are on here.
Okay, the next one is Z220045, petition of I-55 RV Park and Campground LLC. The subject property is located at 4260 Blackburn Road in Edwardsville, County Board District 11, and is zoned agricultural. They are requesting a special use permit to operate an RV park on site. They're proposing to use 3 acres of the 6-acre property for the RV park that would have 18 gravel pads, 1 ADA compliant concrete pad, a comfort station, and a dog park. Each pad would have water, sewer, and electric service. At the last meeting, one member of the public spoke in opposition to the request during the public comment section of the meeting. And staff has recommended conditions of approval if the ZBA was to approve. Questions? Do we get a chance to comment? Later you will get a chance. Before the vote. Yes. Thank you. The next one is Z22044, petition of Michael Moore. The subject property is located at 5137 State Route 140 in DeFalco, County Board District 14, and is zoned R3 single family residential. He is requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone the approximately 0.45 acre tract of land from R3 to B1 near the business district in order to have a planning office and shop on the property. And the property is currently vacant. There are not any violations and no opposition has been expressed. Questions from the board? Okay. The next one is Z220049, petition of Mike and Max Moniger. The subject properties are located at 112 Clover Street in the Falso County Board District 14 and is zoned R3 single family residential. They are requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone the 3 properties from R3 to PD Planned Development District in order to have personal and commercial storage in the existing 3 buildings on site. And they're also proposing to have a small self-storage facility on site in the future. There are not standing violations. Staff has received 2 letters of opposition from neighbors, and the proposed district conditions of use are listed in attachment A if the ZBA votes to approve. Questions? Okay. Next one is Z22050, petition of Justin and Hillary McLaughlin of Max Family Funtime LLC. The subject property is located at 13229 U.S. Highway 40 in Highland, County Board District Number 4, school zoned A agricultural and B2 general business districts. They are requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone the 7.21 acre rural zone tract from B2B5 and business district. They currently have a custard shop, a small arcade and a bounce house inside the existing building. They're wanting to rezone the property in order to expand the parking lot and add an outdoor miniature golf course to the property. There are no outstanding violations. We have received 5 letters of opposition in the proposed district. Conditional use are listed in attachment A if the ZBA votes to approve. Questions from the board? The next one is Z220051, petition of Adam Honiger on behalf of Keith and Joy Honiger. The subject property is located along Wolf Shore Road in Glen Carbon, County Board District 24, in zone of agricultural and 65.75 acres in size. He's requesting special use permits in order to have a sales yard and agritourism operation on the site. He's also requesting a variance to have up to 10 square feet of signage instead of maximum 4 square feet allowed. So he is currently proposing to have a sales yard and a farm stand on site to sell flowers and produce from the property and other properties in the county, and he's hoping to expand into an agritourism operation sometime in the future. Staff has received 2 letters from adjacent property owners listing concerns and questions that they have regarding this petition. There are not seen violations, and staff has proposed conditions of approval if the ZBA votes to approve. Questions from the board? Okay, the last one is Z220052, petition of Michael Carlson on behalf of Justin and Margaret Littekin. The subject property is located at 8759 Maple Grove Road in Edwardsville, County Board District 11, and zoned agricultural. He's requesting a variance to construct an attached garage addition to the existing home that would be 26 feet from the south property line instead of the required 15 feet. The applicant noted that due to the width of the right-of-way for Maple Grove Road, the corner of the garage would still be 50 feet from the edge of the pavement, but only 26 feet from the property line. There are not seen violations and no opposition with this request. Any questions? All right,
At this time, further down and spread out around the whole place are microphones that are on. Anyone is wishing to speak, would you please try to locate yourself at one of those microphones? Otherwise, we have the main one down here that you can always come down here and speak also. So if you want to take a minute or two, anybody wants to move around? Okay, we're all situated. The only other thing, whenever you speak at the microphone, please speak right close to it so it'll pick up everything you say. So at this time, we'll go over some rules that apply for the rest of the meeting. Each hearing will be conducted in agenda order. I will open the hearing by reading the legal notices. Once the notice is read, the petitioner will address the zoning board to explain what is being requested and why. Once the petitioner has addressed the board members will have the opportunity to ask any questions they have for the petitioner. After that, any members of the public wishing to speak on the hearing at hand may do so. When you speak, please state your name once you get to the mic and direct your comments to the zoning board or department staff, not at each other. If you are here to speak on a hearing that has already taken place or for another zoning issue, you may address the zoning board during the agenda item, citizens wishing to address the Zoning Board of Appeals. Staff will read aloud any public comment that was submitted to the staff prior to this meeting to be read for the record. Everyone is entitled to have comments for up to 3 minutes. Now I'd like to swear everybody in for the meeting, but all staff members and anyone wishing to be speaking tonight, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Let the record show that all meeting attendees are sworn in. We will start with hearing number one, file Z22-0043. Petition of Blake Tourville, owner of record, requesting a variance as per 93.051 section A, item 3, subsection B of the Madison County Zoning Ordinances, in order to construct an accessory building that will be 4 feet from the south property line instead of the required 15. This is located in an A agricultural district in Morrow Township at 8702 North State Route 159, Dorsey, Illinois, County Board District Number 3. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on June 13, 2022, let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. At this time, would applicant please address the board?
Hi, I'm Blake Tourville, and I have copies. I don't have it. I only brought seven.
Six. Who else?
Decorated combat war veteran, and I'm wanting to build a garage 4 feet off the property line instead of 15 due to make it convenient for me to be able to get in and out of my property with camper, boat, car hauler, that kind of stuff. And I'm just building a garage to store some old classic cars in, and I'm just asking permission to build it. I have permission from the one neighbor, filled out the letter you guys sent, and the other neighbor I have permission from, but since then they have passed away, so I have permission from the daughter, but I have that in the files I gave you, but I don't have it on the court papers that you guys sent. And as you can see on the first page, my house sits way back there. I'm like a quarter mile from 159. I'm wanting to build that garage back there. Nobody will ever even be able to see it or anything. So I don't know what the big deal would be. I'm just trying to make everything legit. The second picture is a closer view. When I come in with my camper and stuff, I have to go through here and turn around in the yard to be able to get back out because I'm landlocked. So if I put that garage 15 feet from the property line, it sits in the middle of my yard, and I won't have no way to get in and out with anything. And it would be weird to be able to pull cars in because of the angle that you get when you come down the driveway here. You have to drive around this building where we're parked, and then you go straight into the yard. This over here is an old barn that got destroyed by a tornado in December, and that's why I'm trying to build a new building, so that I can store my hot rods in a new safer building that's on security camera, not way back over here in the woods.
Board members, any questions?
You say you were a vet?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you had the property surveyed?
Yes. They
did
just
you know
did
that
last week, and the property lines are all where we thought they were. And I've included the information for the daughter of the deceased on like the third or fourth page so that you guys can get a hold of her with all the text message copies stating that she's good with it. And you have the permission from my north side neighbors, which are way on the other side of the woods. You can't see them anyway.
Excuse me. It says something about a court case here on that page.
That was for this.
She meant a hearing.
This was the court case. This has been postponed from last month because of the survey, which we've had done and everything checks out cool.
How long have you lived on the property?
23 years.
Do you have a professional company that you've been from?
Yes. Yes, it is. I don't have that in here. Oh, yeah, I did too. I don't have that with me, but yes, it is a professional company. That's where this here came from, this picture.
Any other questions? Anyone in the audience wishing to speak at this time? If not, hearing Z22-0043 is hereby closed.
Requesting a variance to construct his accessory building on his property, we have no objection. We would rather for our neighbor to be able to shelter his stuff than to leave it out in the opening, which would be an eyesore in our opinion. Sincerely, James and Shirley Denny.
Can I say that?
Because
I didn't hear you.
Oh.
I couldn't hear you either.
Yeah. Whatever, please put your mics down where they can be heard, please.
Scared
me with the eyesore.
Is that a good letter or a bad letter?
It's a good letter. That eyesore scared me. I'm new to all this, so how do I know when everything's cool?
How big of an area do you own out there?
Say again?
How many acres do you own?
Three
acres.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next hearing is file Z22-0045. Excuse me. Petition of I-55 RV Park and Campground LLC. Applicant on behalf of Jeffrey and Pamela Bladlock, owners of record, requested a special use permit as per 93.023 Section D, Item 31 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance in order to operate a travel trailer dash RV park on site. This is located in an A agricultural district in Pine Oak Township at 4260 Blackburn Road, Edwardsville, Illinois, County Board District Number 11. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on June 13, 2022. Please let the record show that the zoning file staff report and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. At this time, would applicant please address the board?
Hi, my name is Jeff Gladick, and my wife, Kim, is one of the legal owners. Named Pamela is my sister. She's no longer on that property. We're not outsiders to Madison County. My father was born and raised in Granite City, Illinois. Both my parents are buried in Calvary Cemetery. Our son played hockey for Twin Bridges Lightning the first year they merged. I coached for Twin Bridges for over 10 years. This property we want to make into an RV park has been in our family almost 20 years, and we look forward to establishing our business and contributing to the growth and prosperity of our community. With that, I was going to let my wife speak more about the campground.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting
me
speak. My name is Kim
Platt. Get closer to the mic, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, stay real close.
Okay, I am a letter carrier for the post office. I am retired. I've been to the post office for 30 years, and I had my same route the entire time. I built quite a rapport with my customers.
I was going to tell you a little bit about the plans that we have. We both are retired now for 3 years, and we do live in our RV full-time. And with the experience that we have with traveling, we decided we wanted to volunteer some of these parks, which made us think that we can do this. This is our life calling. We are very excited about opening this RV and campground off of I-55. There will be 19 full hookup sites. Vaughn is this typical stereotype of RV lifestyle. They are young, old, and all the ages in between. Some are retired as we are, they live full time. Some are parents that travel and use hands-on learning experience for their children. And some like to explore different cultures, food. It gives them a new way of doing things. There are over 600,000 campers built last year alone. That's up 40% from 2021. This is not going away. Whether our guests are traveling from point A to their point B, or traveling in town to see their families, or visit the greater St. Louis area, or go to a race at the track, which is nearby, they will be contributing to this local community's revenue, as they will need gas, restaurants, groceries, even haircuts, etc. Research has shown that our occupancy rate will be around 69%. We plan on opening all year around. And we do look forward to making Edwardsville our home and contributing to this lovely community. Thank you for letting me speak.
Board, any questions?
Yes, I do. I have some questions. You said you have 19 sites, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and on those 19 sites, what do the campers pay for, and what do you provide?
We provide a full hookup, which is electricity, sewer, and water. We are going to charge $45 to $50 a night.
And will people be able to stay for long periods of time, or is this a day-to-day, month-to-month, what type of setup?
Most of our our target customers will be traveling from point A to point B off of 55. They're looking for conducive, large sites, which we're going to be providing a mile off the highway, which is what people are very prone to want. And we will only offer longer term, up to 30-day sites, only in the off season. And that will be after we do a background check and have strict policies, like years of their RV. How old they are,
Yeah.
And they're not going to make that their home. We are not doing this. It's not going to be something like that.
Well, I know the one down on 111 by Coleman Campers, that park is constantly full. And, I mean, they're doing a terrific job with that. So I'm sure there is a need for it.
Well, they say for every three campers, there's only one campsite.
Wow. Yeah. And you'll be living in this park yourself?
Yes, we will. This will be our home.
Okay. Sounds pretty good. Thank you.
Will you be managing the day-to-day operation? Who does the
management? Cedric?
Well, my husband and I will be on park 24/7. We will hire a company that does the background check. He may answer that better.
It's of RVAC, which is National Association of Campgrounds, and they offer a background check company or service.
You will be living on the property?
That is correct.
Okay. And what type of situation? In a home?
No, we have a 2021 fifth wheel.
A bed. That was not brought up in the plans. Sorry to address this with you now. But you cannot live in that permanently. And you build a home on it, but you can't live in it. It can't permanently on any property.
So to run and manage it, we can't?
Nope.
Okay.
Can I ask Can they have an office?
They can have an office, sure.
Could their camper be their office?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You can't live in a camper. So just to make you aware of that, okay? So that there's all the plans.
What if they want to spend like a couple of nights there because they don't see the campground? Can they do that?
Yeah, so he does. He can't be a permanent resident, so.
So, like, I guess my question is, can they be there like 20 days because if they want to oversee, they got issues going there? I mean, can you explain a little bit more what he's allowed to do and what he ain't?
Well, basically, you're not allowed to live in a camper permanently anywhere.
That would be a permanent residence.
That was not brought up before.
I mean, we've been living in a camper for the last 3 years from this September, and probably millions of people do live in their campers full time.
In Madison County, have you?
Yes. In Madison County. I know several people that are living in campers in Madison County.
Well, it's against the zoning code, so.
You've got it all over the place.
Well, it's not allowed.
So, if we were to put a truck model camper on there, would that qualify as a residence?
No.
Can they put a trailer?
You can put it in a mobile home with a special use permit.
You've got Bethmar Trailer Park right there in Bethalto. That is in Madison County.
That is in
the
city limits of Bethalto. They have their own zoning ordinance.
They still have trailers and people
it's
in their trailers.
Yes, they have their own zoning ordinance. So Madison County has their own zoning ordinance from incorporated towns.
Can they put their travel trailer on like a base? Consider that a...
No. It has to be a permanent structure to live in. No living in campers or RVs in the past. I didn't bring that up. That's been part of zoning ordinance forever. So,
why is how is a mobile home any different from an RV?
We're addressing this issue right here. I won't get off in the weeds about it. I just want to bring this up with these applicants right now.
I appreciate this comment. It sounds like he's not a far situation. I'm reading.
It's not even.
I'm not understanding. You're saying that a mobile home is okay, but an RV, which is essentially a mobile home, is not.
It's not the same as a home. Yeah, we're off topic now. Stay on topic. I'm just giving you a heads up, okay?
I'm sorry.
I'm giving you a heads up. You will not be able to live in a camp or an RV.
What would be a definition of a home? I mean, seriously, is it going to be like a tiny home that you drop in there? Or how would I find that?
Minimum square footage of 620 square feet.
And go on to find tells me what a technical, what word do you have? A mobile home. What is it? A structure?
We're getting off.
What's the square footage of a structure?
We can address this after the meeting. Okay, proceed with the meeting.
Yeah. Afterwards, we get together.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Any other questions out the audience? Talk loud.
Hi, my name is Jean Carter. I live in Pinto Township. It's not Pine, just FYI. First, I wanted to just make a comment. I read the report from Cheryl Associates Incorporated, and the last line that Mr. Wagner said was, with the majority of this area around the campground site being agricultural or commercial, the anticipated impact of the campground site is expected to be minimal. It really aggravated me when I read that because I know the people that live right next door, across the street, and their lives are going to be very impacted on Blackburn Road to have that campsite. Number one, the traffic, the RV traffic, the utility cars and vehicles that come with campers. I have nothing against camping. I'm a camper myself. We have a place we love to go camping, but we wouldn't want to go camping in somebody's backyard, and that's what this feels like to those of us who live out there. I have neighbors who said to me, please, you can speak for us too, because basically what's happening is they're putting a living situation right next to the cornfields that are in our backyard. So they maybe look just like cornfields out in the country, but they're really our backyards, and there's someone's income as well. We anticipate that people who come camping and want to take a walk, they'll want to take their dogs, which are being allowed for a walk. And I don't know about you, but in the country, sometimes people think it's okay to just let your dogs run because there's nothing but the country. The country for us is pretty important. We like the lack of light, the lack of noise, the lack of traffic. And I think this, to me, looks like it provides an opportunity for a lot of transient people to buzz in and out of our backyards. Another concern I have, and I don't know if it's realistic, but has there been a study of the groundwater situation out there? We have other homes being built, and of course we don't have city water in the township. I have read and done a little research that the newer wells that get dug are being dug deeper, which has an impact on the older wells, which were not dug as deep. And we already have people out there during the dry spell who have to go get water and haul it into their home because the well couldn't sustain it. So now we're talking about sustaining 19 homes, basically, at the RV park, plus any additional houses that are built out there. So I, for one, would like somebody to answer the question, if it's possible, what is going to be the impact in my well? I'm a couple miles from that spot, but that's my water. What else do we have? Oh, I'm sitting here going, what other points? I have a ton of them. Obviously, we're not real pleased about the idea out there. We're you know, we keep hearing about the growth in the commerce and how wonderful it's all going to be, but for us, it's not wonderful.
You have 30 seconds to finish.
Thanks.
Any other questions, comments? Yes.
Okay. My name's Jean Keady, and I'm a property owner, adjoining property owner. I have property that adjoins that property where the RV campground is from Holmes Street. It's just, my property actually butts up against to the south of theirs, you know. And I also, and it's, what I have there is zoned agriculture. And then I have, my residence is on the west side of Blackburn Road, but very close to where the end of that campground is going to be. Plus, I own agricultural ground directly that's going to be across from there. And so a lot of things concern me, like safety, for one thing, because that is my home there and stuff. Okay, and first off, I wondered if there was going to be a park attendant always on site in case there were problems. So, well, let me get this resolved, maybe. You know. And look, there'd be a limit of only one or two nights the camper can camp there, so it doesn't become a semi-permanent residence for some people. Now, I mean, if you're saying it's an overnight campsite, shouldn't be more than one or two nights. I know, but we're not out in the country where there's a lake. They don't have a farm and things and playground equipment and stuff. It's not, you know, if they're just camping there for 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know what they're doing, you know. And if there's going to be a curfew time, like about 10 o'clock, so there's no loud music or partying after that time, because I am really close. It's right across the street, and you want to have a campground right across your street, you know, from your residence. And lighting's been an issue before with commercial businesses on Blackburn Road. And that they have light shining. I don't want any light shining towards my home. I have a second floor home. They're lighting. we've had an issue with the lighting on the storage facility that was built. Fire hazard from campfires. If they got campfires on there, when you're so close to agriculture crops, it's a worry, you know. Just especially when they get to be in really towards fall here, normally, or even wheat in summer, in the middle of summer. And I know they said, what's the viability of this park anyway becoming successful? Zoning application states the market research was conducted by the owners. And they believe there's a demand for overnight camping and RV sites, and it will be successful running it 12 months a year. Well, there was a park named Red Barn Rendezvous.
30 seconds, please.
Right down the road. Yeah, it's done. It's out of business.
Any other comments?
Did she say there's another RV?
No, or pass.
Just a mile down the road. You said it's closed now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been closed a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it's even closer to the overhead from the interstate.
Do you think this would affect your property values? I have a camper there in an agricultural district.
I think having 19 campers in and out of the industrial road, or the Blackburn Road, would affect our property value. And I think not just hers next to it, I think it affects that whole township corridor. I mean, it's a residential area. I know it looks like the country or just like nothing but cornfield, but it's residential. If you look within 3 miles, there's probably, I don't know, 100 families. It changes the dynamics of our neighborhood, our community, and I think with the town.
Thank you.
Can I? A couple questions. Yes. She mentioned that her farmland is adjacent to the campground. That's incorrect. That plot there is split in half. Me and my wife own the north half, and my sister owns the second half, which would be adjacent to her property. So the campground won't be next to her farmland. It'll be right next to Dex Tree Service, which is north of us. And then the people with the Red Barn, I spoke with them. They're old, they're tired. They closed their park because they ran their time. They're done. There was no reason why they closed, like a business or nothing like that. They just did their 30 years of doing it, and they were done. So that was the only correction I wanted to make on the plot.
Okay, at this time, hearing Z22-0045 is hereby closed. Next hearing is Z22-0048, a petition of Michael Mulhall, owner of record, requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone an approximate 0.45 acre tract of land from R3 single family residential district to B1 limited district business district in order to have a plumbing office and shop on site. This is located in Fort Russell Township at 5127 State Route 140, Bethalto, Illinois, County Board District 14. This was published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on July 11, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. At this time, would the applicant please address the board?
I'm really hoping that there's not going to be any issues with the rezoning of this. I've spoke with the neighbors directly to the right of me. It's a landscaping company, two young guys doing really, really successful there. This is right on Highway 140, directly across the street from Park Stop Auto Store. I would say that, in my opinion, I'm pretty sure that about 80% of the properties right there on Highway 140 are all commercial. This actual lot itself sat vacant, from my understanding, from the 70s until now, somewhere in that area. I'm guessing on that date, but it's been a long, long time. There was a home on the property years and years ago. All that was left of it was a foundation. I think this will be an upgrade to the community. I'm proposing to put a 50 by 80 steel girder building on there. This is not a pole barn. This is an actual steel girder building, 16-foot sidewalls. I've got all the state-approved diagrams, you know, all of that. You know, just want to put a good business there.
Board, any questions?
Do you have highway access then in one spot or two spots?
Right now, I've got access of one spot, and they just recently, the county has replaced that culvert for me, and I've spoke with the people in that department to get that culvert expanded so that it's easier to get in and out of it. The people that I talked to in that department, they said it shouldn't be any issue at all getting that culvert expanded.
Okay. Are you doing any retail business out of that?
No, none whatsoever. The only traffic that will be coming in and out of there will be my service trucks and occasionally delivery trucks, because I order a lot of my materials, from companies.
How many employees do you have?
Right now, I only have 3. I'm looking to expand to have, you know, between 6 and 10 within 5 years. That's my goal anyway.
Okay.
It is a small company right now. We take a lot of pride in giving people quality service for reasonable rates. My company is incorporated now. We're a member of the Better Business Bureau with an excellent AAA rating. You can find me on Angie's List or on Home Advisor, and my ratings on there are also excellent. It's important for me to make sure that every customer is the first customer is as important as the last one. You know, we take a lot of pride in our work.
Thank you.
Where is your office now?
Right now, unfortunately, it's my garage. I was working for myself, just one truck, and I started out 12 years ago, and it got to where I just couldn't handle everything, you know, by myself. And, you know, I've actually, I just want to put a good business up, you know.
Thank you.
Board, any other questions? Anyone in the audience have any questions? If not, hearing Z20. Oh, well, she's coming.
Can I talk in your name? Where he's put this, there is probably 8 at least commercial properties sitting around this lot. This lot has been eyesore to Madison County for every bit of 25 years. Him putting a business in there would only bring more revenue to Madison County. It would actually make that area a lot nicer driving through. I don't see any problem with anybody. I have right now, I sold that lot that he's talking about that the landscapers went into, and I own 2 across the street that adjoin that are attached, I guess, with the highways in between us. And I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
What was your name? Rhonda Cato. I am here for the estate of Jerome D. Fletcher.
Hearing Z22-0048 is hereby closed.
Thank you.
Next is file Z22-0049, a petition of Mike Moniger, applicant on behalf of Max Moniger, owner of record.
I can't hear.
Request. requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone three parcels of land totaling 0.77 acres from R3 single family residential district to PD planned development district in order to have a commercial and personal storage and a small self storage facility on site. This is located in Fort Russell Township at 112 Clover Road, Bethalto, Illinois County Board District number 14. Excuse me. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on July 11th, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff file, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. At this time, would the applicant please address the board?
Hello. My name is Mike Moniger. My son, Max, and I purchased this property from Fort Russell Township. They have three whole buildings there, and they ran their construction company out of it. It's in Valley Brook. And we're just looking to do something with the property. I don't know what to do with three big pole barns there, so we're just trying to find it to store stuff there. I want to see if anybody has any opposition to it, or if it would be okay.
Board, any questions?
You plan on leasing that out?
Leasing the buildings out?
Yes.
If they wanted to rent the whole building, I could, yes.
Are you storing your equipment in there also?
At this point, no.
Is that your plan? To store your equipment in there also?
It hasn't been in my plan, but I might have just gotten offered to buy my other site, so I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But I'm not going to have anything in there like what was there before. And I talked to one of the neighbors there, and he said, well, they should be more quiet than Fort Russell Township was. So,
so your intention is to have some outdoor storage and what? Maybe possibly add some more buildings to the property, possibly?
Possibly add another building, yes.
Okay, so
there'll be some outside storage. It won't be on a daily basis there, but it's more long-term, such as a boat over the winter or a camper. It's not going to be personal items in there, for, you know, furniture and such.
Right, right.
And I will put a fence around it. You know, if it require a cloth around it, and we'll do that too. So people that wouldn't see anything in there, but it could require it.
Board, any other questions? Are there any questions from anyone in the audience? If not, hearing Z20.
Okay. So I did receive two letters of opposition to this request. The first one says this is a quiet little neighborhood and we'd like to keep it that way. We do not want to hear people in and out of storage facilities all hours of the day and night, nor the extra traffic. Please keep commercial businesses away from our home. And then the second one says, we submit our objection to the rezone of the three parcels at 112 Clover Street, that's also to PD Plan Development District. The building of public storage buildings can cause safety concerns for the neighbors in the zone R3 single family residential. That's all.
Okay, but it's not going to be for their personal items such as clothing, furniture, or whatever. It's going to be long-term, more of a long-term thing in there. They do it over the winter, so it's not going to be. If you have 20 or 25 in there and they store it over winter, they're not even moving one a day or maybe not one a month sometime.
Okay.
And not only that, it can be as much traffic as Fort Russell had in there. They were in and out of there every day. It was several days. And back over and whatever.
Thank you. Hearing Z22-0049 is hereby closed. Next is file Z22-0050, petition of Justin and Hillary McLaughlin of Max Family Fund, Time LLC, owner of record, requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone 7.21 acre dual zoned tract of land from A Agriculture District and B2 General Business District to B5 Planned Business District in order to expand the operation to include a miniature golf course. This is located in Saline Township at 13-229 U.S. Highway 40, Highland, Illinois, County Board District Number 4. Published in Edwardsville Intelligencer on July 11, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant address the board?
Hello, thank you. My name is Justin, this is Hillary, and we are current proud owners of a small family entertainment center just outside the Highland city limit, but a 60-second drive from our new hospital as well as our new public safety building where our police our house now. It's just a very, very short stone throw away from this property where we are. We are coming up on our 10-year anniversary of owning the Lori Theater in Highland, Illinois, which is downtown. We have an excellent reputation that precedes us as owners of that business. We were able to open this business as a silver lining of COVID with the shutdowns of the theater industry during the length of COVID's shutdowns. We were able to sell frozen custard out the front door of the Lori Theater and maintain that business through the closures. After a year and a half of closures, we had a tax return. After being closed for a year and a half, and we still made money, we took it to the bank and said, look what we did. Well, we were closed. The movies are coming back. You should give us a loan so we can keep going. And they went, okay. And so now we have this additional business. We initially thought before that we would build new, but then we fell in love with this property that was built in 1989 as a church and has, for the last 14 years, has been a dance studio. As you can see, the property is very large, and with the correct zoning, with Madison County's zoning's help, deciding that the zoning was correct to do what we wanted to initially in the existing structure, we did know that down the road, and they were very clear with us, that we would have to apply to have the surrounding acreage rezoned correctly in order to expand. And we are approaching our first year at the on the 31st. Actually, we're doing our 1 year week-long celebration this week. We had a very nice crowd there today, as a matter of fact. Yeah, the parking lot was full, as you can see in our picture provided. It does fill up. And so we do need to expand the parking lot into the acreage, and then as well as we'd like to add our first outdoor attraction, which we are big fans of the family environment with miniature golf. We did bring an example of the construction company we'd like to use that is experts at miniature golf and other family attractions. They're called Amusement Construction, and we did already meet with them and toured their construction facility in Tennessee. And they're a terrific business to partner with for the construction of our golf course, assuming that we are able to be zoned correctly. I think that's a pretty good synopsis. I'm happy to answer any questions. And I'm also very curious. We did reach out to our neighbors, so I was a little bit deflated, to be frank, when I heard that there were letters of opposition. I feel that we are very approachable, and especially with our tenure in the theater now, coming up on 10 years, people know who we are. I would have hoped that they would have come to us directly, but so I was a little bit deflated to hear that there were letters. So I'm curious to hear those, and I hope that we can quell any concerns that they might have.
I just got to say congratulations on being true entrepreneurs during the COVID. That was hard work, I'm sure.
Thank you. We're really lucky.
Yeah, and to start a business, you guys, wow, you guys really put yourselves out there. So what you're trying to do, what I'm trying to understand here is
You're also going to do the golf, the little putt-putt golf, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then what other business? Is there another business also that I read that you're wanting to do with the putt-putt golf? Or is that it?
No, we have plans for golf.
Just the golf right now. Okay, and how much room will the golf take up as far as space? You've got 7 acres, is that right? Okay, and your max takes up how much space right now?
The existing building is a 7,500 square foot building. I can't, I'm sorry, the picture number left, that large aerial view will show you that, how big the building is in comparison to how big the property is.
Yeah. So would you say that the max in your parking takes up a couple acres? Would that be pretty close?
I think that based on that photo, that would be approximately accurate.
Okay, and then would you say that your putt-putt golf would take up another couple acres?
I would agree with that.
Okay, so you'll still have acreage left over.
I would agree with that.
Okay, all right. Okay, that's all I have.
Have you spoken with the city that do they have plans to kind of expand road infrastructure? So maybe it could be a turn lane at some point?
Based on my understanding of the way the county is the jurisdiction of that area, I've not had any conversations of any kind like that. I'm going to say that the middle school only has a two-lane road with no turns, and so if the middle school doesn't have a turn lane, I would assume that we probably would not get a turn lane. I have middle school students, so bad traffic in the morning. Yes and no. I do believe that the miniature golf does have a broader appeal than a bounce house, for example. I would hope that we would broaden our appeal to other age groups and things of that nature, more family activity. Right now, a family wants to ride in the bounce house, for example. The 6 and 7-year-olds ride in the bounce house, and the parents will not. they will watch and giggle. I also failed to mention a Madison County Ave. I thought of it.
Board, any more questions?
Where do you live now?
Highland. We live less than a 5-minute drive from this facility, which I'm aware of because occasionally a delivery will arrive before me and I have to get there in the speed limit quickly.
How many employees do you think you'll need for the golf course?
Our employee count is currently at 24 off the top of my head. And I don't believe that it would increase significantly. I think that maybe it might increase to a potentially around 30, depending on the season.
You have 24 full-time?
No, our employees are mostly teenagers and college students part-time. We have approximately 2 to 3 full-time. I would say one is on salary, and then maybe 2 or 3 other managers are getting enough hours to potentially be considered full-time.
Any questions from anyone? Yes.
I have no problem. You didn't get approached because you gave us the letter that we were going on vacation.
Oh, I'm sorry for that.
Since that building was out there, it was a church. So it got zoned, I guess, for a church. Mm-hmm. Then it got zoned, that church went under. Then it went to a Rogers for church. So it got snuck through, basically. Then it went to that place under, then it went to a business, which that little area is the only thing that got business. The rest stayed agriculture, so the neighbors were fine with that. But now, I don't have a concern against the putt-putt golf, but if you zone it business, when you sell it, or you might get it for it, but It can be another building, or two building, or three building business go out there. Since we've lived there, since 91, and I own the ground next to it, people are stuck in the back, knocking the door at 3 o'clock, because there's nobody out there. Dead batteries, kids will do, you know, good place for kids to go hide, I guess.
Well, not anymore. We have a full camera system.
It doesn't happen as much now, but there's nobody on site, is what I'm saying. We got cattle next to it. We got bees next to it. Like I said, I'm not too concerned about the equipment off if it comes and goes. I don't know if that could be a special permit. But as far as businesses going up here, it is a bad turn in there. We've seen plenty of wrecks for years because of the hill on one side. People think it's a racetrack from the other side. As far as the police, that's not high on the police. That's, you said the police station's closed. It's not. When we call for something, we're waiting for the county, and they're not close. Biggest concern I have is what would happen, let's say, what the golf doesn't or whatever you want to do. And you're gone, just like the other previous people are gone, and we're still there. We own 4 acres there, 11 behind you. Well, that's my concern.
Any other comments? Okay.
I just maybe it'll ease your mind a little bit. Since this is a B5 planned business district, what is approved in the conditions of use, which is the amusement center, miniature golf course, those are the only uses that would be allowed on the property. If anybody in the future wanted to do anything different, they would have to come back and do this entire process again to get approved to amend the B5 district or to rezone it to a different district. Just so you're aware of how that works. I do have letters of opposition to me. The first one says, this is David Mooney, about the ZBA file number Z220050. We are very concerned about more traffic in and out of this entrance. There have been several accidents at that entrance in the past with minimal traffic. The more that is at this location will bring more traffic with the greater possibility of more accidents. The entrance is so close to the crest of the hill, so more traffic does not have much notice. The sun is turning. We do not want someone seriously injured. Thank you for letting me voice my concerns. The second one.
May I rebuttal that? No?
Sure.
Please, sure. We shared that concern, and we actually did reach out. Forgive me for not remembering the name, but I did reach out to the county for a sign that was like would say entry to business in 500 feet or entry to business on the right or something like that I've seen in other parts of the county. And that representative for the whatever department that was, I believe some sort of highway department, did come on site and meet with me and explained how that sign is not applicable for us due to the speed limits and other things. And he assured me that we don't need it. And even though I specifically asked for it when we initially opened. So that was a year ago, so that's why I don't remember the name. But it was a gentleman, and I did go through procedures to make the appointment, have him come and look at it. So I would be, I still would think that a sign would be helpful, if that would potentially quell that concern. I share the concern. I would like there to be a safer way to go in and out. Thank you.
Okay, so the next one is from an attorney who was actually retained by David Mooney, the first letter that I read. He says, my firm has been retained by David Mooney, who has provided notice of this hearing. I anticipate being hired to represent other landowners near this subject property as well. The petition of Justin and Hillary McLaughlin to rezone the above referenced property to B5 Planned Business District should be denied. The text for the B5 Planned Business District and the Madison County Zoning Ordinance states that the subject area should be favorable for commercial growth, but be experiencing a variety of developmental problems. This specific property is not favorable for commercial growth as it is completely surrounded by residential and agricultural land. Further development problems, if any of this parcel would be due to not being located near any other commercial properties. The entry of an expanded commercial use of the subject property would also have a serious negative effect on the value of neighboring properties and on the quality of life for the residents both abutting and completely surrounding the subject parcel. These negative issues include, but are not limited to, noise, safety, privacy, lights, littering, and aesthetic views. The rezoning of this property would have other adverse impacts on all surrounding residential properties. At present, the traffic at this location is dangerous due to a nearby hill with no visibility and the excessive speed that vehicles travel in both directions. It is hazardous to turn onto U.S. Highway 40 already in this area, and adding more vehicles for expanded commercial use, including the requirement of these vehicles entering and exiting subject parcel, will only increase this danger. The undersigned has previously reported that traffic issue to Salem Township. Any additional traffic would absolutely make an already dangerous situation even worse. The applicants were or should have been aware of current zoning when they purchased the property, as well as aware that the surrounding area is entirely residential with some agricultural land. In fact, I believe that the subject property is either on a septic system or aeration system, which is more suited to residential property. The owners were or should have been on notice that expansion is not feasible for all reasons mentioned herein. Any change in zoning to the subject property may be spot zoning, which is not conformed to and is inconsistent with the surrounding area for which the character is residential. I request that the zoning board of appeals review all these concerns as stated prior to making a decision and thereafter deny this petition. Thank you, Dwayne C. Clark, Esquire.
I have a quick question here. On are you or Mrs. Renat?
We're approaching we're currently celebrating our 1 year anniversary. So, yes. Yeah. We've been doing pretty well. So,
that's our parking lot.
That's our lot. Yeah. Like, it was full today.
I don't want to. It's never. Very seldom.
That's true. It's not full out full every day. That's correct. It's not that full every day. He's right. But we've been in business successfully approaching a year.
So you do feel like you'll be a positive asset to the growth and development community?
We absolutely are 100% a positive asset to our community, and I would be happy to back that up all day long with testimony from the city or anybody else.
Are there any other businesses similar to yours in the community?
No. The only close family entertainment centers are in Edwardsville, such as Edison's or Altitude Trampoline Park.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. The next one says, I am Pamela K. Schumacher, a resident / farm owner living at 13205 U.S. Highway 40 in Highland. I have been a resident on this property for 53 years and have raised horses, cattle, hogs, chickens, sheep, goats, etc., and also currently have honeybees house on our property. I'm writing to express my opposition to the proposed rezoning and development of property at Max Family Fun Time at 13229 U.S. Highway 40, Highland, Illinois. The rezoning of this property from agricultural district and B2 general business district to B5 planned business district is stated to include a miniature golf course, but with the rezoning would enable property owners to also add additional businesses and buildings to the property. The original rezoning of this agricultural property was for a church, and if/when the church was no longer housing the church, it was supposed to go back to all agriculture. Several owners back skirted that by having quote yoga for the Lord or something along those lines. The existing property was never rezoned back to agricultural and was dropped. The property, which is currently an agricultural district at this address, was not kept as agricultural as stated by current owners. Personal letter to us to save on taxes. All the property was to go back to agricultural, but again was skirted. Our opposition is also based on these potential / probable negative effects. There are currently existing issues with this property with drainage as the parking lot drains onto the easement of the one 13217 property and other property at 13205, causing our pasture land to continually be wet. If this is identified as B5, additional businesses are allowed to be constructed on the property. It will also cause additional issues with sewage and an already stressed power grid for our area. A decrease in market value of my home/farm, increased traffic congestion, adding to an already dangerous situation at the crest of a hill on an already busy US Highway 40, the destruction of green space, as well as driving animals out of the area onto Highway 40, causing accidents. This type of business does not fit into the agricultural neighborhood. If it was in the city of Women's of Highland, I can understand where folks could walk and ride bikes to the current establishment, and now with the rezoning push, I view this up towards adding additional business/buildings to the property. Please do not rezone this site to B5. Once the property is rezoned, the property owner can change the original concept within the approved B5 zoning. Next one, I am writing to express my strong opposition to the change of the zoning from agricultural district and B2 general business district to B5 highway or planned business district, the proposed rezoning at 13229 US Highway 40. I have lived on my farm property for over 60 years, and while the local community may believe this to be good for the children, which I too would believe if it was in an area where kids are able to safely walk and ride bikes to, but on a very busy Highway 40, I personally do not believe this is the correct area for this type of business. I believe that a majority of adjacent property owners are completely opposed to the addition of businesses/buildings on the property, which in turn will cause additional traffic and safety problems, creating even more problems with destroying local wildlife habitat and lowering the property values of the existing residential/farm area. Traffic and safety are major areas of concern. Traffic coming westbound on US Highway 40 through a dip and a crest on the hill, and it's currently extremely dangerous during some of the busiest times of the day, which are morning and evening rush hours on, again, a very busy US Highway 40. Additional drainage and septic system issues. I believe septic issues killed at least 8 of our black walnut trees when the establishment was a church. Property values are likely to go down in the area due to business/buildings, which are inconsistent with the current development in the area. Wildlife is abundant in this area, and any additional development will destroy their habitat. Additional planned development of the property should consider the continuing impact of local wildlife habitat. I urge you to disapprove the proposed rezoning, and from discussions with neighbors, I know my opinions are shared by many who will not be able to attend meetings or write letters and emails. Do not believe this rezone is entirely for the proposed miniature golf course, but to enable the owners to add additional businesses/buildings to the property. Thank you for your continued service and support of the farming community. Best regards, we very approve this. And one more. I would like to voice my concern for the rezoning request being made by Justin and Hillary McLaughlin of Max Family Fun Time. My main concern is safety on the highway at the entrance to their business. It's just a bad spot. Cars approach too quickly heading east and are many times not prepared to stop for traffic turning into this property. Westbound cars have limited visibility and the entrance is too close to the crest of the hill. We've witnessed accidents through the years and many near accidents. We've already witnessed that farmland being zoned to special use for a church, and the next owners had a rezoned B2 general business for the dance house, and now the new owners are wanting to expand that permit to a B5 planned business district. We're concerned what will happen next with that property when the business is gone. The pattern seems to be that buyers are buying, then rezoning. My question is, did the McLaughlins not know this property was its own correct when they financed it? I'm not opposed to the vision that the McLaughlins have, and even though ill will, I just think this is inappropriate for a place for increased traffic caused by an expansion of a business. This is a residential neighborhood, and we'd like to keep it that way. Thank you, Donna Meany. That's it.
If I had to sense a theme in those letters, it seems to be traffic and danger of the traffic, and I would actually concede the point. I think that, on my end of people exiting the business, I can make a very nice sign that says, please use extra caution with high-speed traffic on the road to remind the drivers going back onto the road to be cautious. And then I think that I would also probably go back to the county again who visited me prior and ask them to come again and say, look, this is a concern of the residents in our area for the growth of our business that seems to be a theme. Like, can we please go back to and request again a sign for business traffic entering and leaving the road? And something like that, I think we could address via potentially additional signage or something.
Well, it appears you have plenty of property along the road there.
Agreed.
Maybe you could even approach the fact of, you know, using that part of your property as an easement type situation for access.
I would be very open to anything like that. I would think that's a phenomenal idea if that was possible, yeah.
Didn't you say the city, that they didn't think it would be a problem?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
I'm sorry. Didn't you say earlier that you approached the city and they said it would be no problem, that the sign wouldn't be needed?
The county that from the highway department that visited said that we don't need I was requesting a sign for traffic entering and leaving the highway. And he said you don't need that, but also he kind of told me that you can't have it. He was kind of like, this doesn't fulfill the requirements to request this sign. So he wouldn't even allow me to proceed it further to request the sign because it didn't fulfill the stipulations. Yeah, it had to do with distance to the entrance, the speed limit, number of cars. Yeah, it had like there's an equation of some kind.
Okay, I get 55 out there and it's a passenger. So I guess my thing is, if they're not concerned, I guess at some point if it became one, I guess they could.
I think it is clearly concerned by our neighbors, and that concerns me.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, I can feel your sympathy to the neighbors too. I'm not making light of that, but you know, I get it.
What about the runoff? I hear ladies. People are complaining about all the runoff.
We have a gravel lot, so I'm not really sure what the runoff is referring to. Our septic system was updated and upgraded, but when we did our initial purchase a year ago, professionally by authorized and inspected by the county as well. So all of that is to spec. I'm not sure what runoff was being referred to. We don't have any standing water of any kind, so I'm not sure what that was about.
Go ahead.
Yes.
The runoff goes across our property. I don't care what kind of septic system you put in. That's why the trees died back there. And when the building got put in the first time, they raised the lot behind it between our properties. Now my property drains so slow because it used to drain, you know, 10 inches to be gone. Now there's about an inch goes across back there. My yard is so slow. But the septic is, you know, across essentially our property. Shoot. That's why there were black walnuts, agriculture black walnuts back there, and it took out where the septic is.
Just to reiterate, that was before we owned the property.
Well, when it was put in, but it was supposed to be an A-1 septic system cover. Then we got zone. Business again, so it's only going
just
to
just
said he did it.
Of course.
Okay.
Comment. I guess you said it was a problem before they took it. Is it a problem now for you?
I didn't replant the trees because I can't go down there and plant trees because
of the septic system?
Yeah. Well, I didn't put them back in here because they're just going to die again because of the septic system. I brought up water issues with the last 2 months. We'll lower that rock. We'll lower it in there. I didn't bring it up with this gentleman yet.
I guess so. But are you still having a problem now?
Yes. It drains, but my yard takes forever to drain where it used to drain pretty good. You know, that was a natural ditch.
Maybe I'm not understanding. You still have an issue with their septic system.
I didn't plant trees back there. Oh yeah, I wish it wouldn't be there, but I don't know what I can do about it. It's the natural grain where they put it. So, trying to be good neighbors, but we lost trees over it, long trees over it the first
my response is initially, I am very grateful for you attending this meeting, Mr. Schumacher. Thank you for being here. And I can assure you that if there was an issue with drainage between our properties, it was anything to do that I can prevent or plan for to make it better for you, I will do so.
Well, since it's going to get rezoned, I don't know where you're going still. I don't know how it can get better.
Can you go here? I don't need to interrupt, sir. But I guess if there's still problems, maybe the people would need to come out and re-inspect it, and the county needs to maybe do a better thorough job of looking at it, too. If it was put in incorrectly, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
The county did come, and in fact, yes, the county did inspect prior and after the construction of the new system that was put in when we acquired the building.
That's what I was saying. I remember you had a new system put in.
There's a new system,
and the system would have to be completely on their property. The system would not be on neighboring property.
That's correct.
All out. But what are drains out of it? There's no water drains out of that system?
I can't speak to how that system functions. I'm sorry.
What depends on what type of system is, I can't recall it that.
There's not a truck going down and pumps it out and all that.
I don't recall it that what type of system.
Forgive me,
I'm not sure.
Do you know who put the system in?
Yes. The last name of the company is... I'm sorry, my phone is off. I would take me a minute to turn it on and look up the name. Forgive me, it's not coming to me. I'm sorry.
Where were they from?
They're from Highland. They were Highland.
Oh, they're Highland.
Highland. Yeah. And they were on the list. There was a list of...
I would have supplied them with a list of licensed private suit contractors.
Correct. And on the list, the first one was from Highland. I used that company, and
they would have had to meet all state and county codes. It would have been sized for the needs of the property.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Not the code. I was saying what happened.
Now, I'm a plumber, and I'm listening to what's going on here, and I'm just wondering, with the acreage that you have, first off, is this an Orwico system, or is it a septic?
I'm sorry, I'm not an expert on, I don't know the difference.
Okay, either way, you're going to have laterals coming off of this field, and that's where,
laterals.
That's the leach field.
Not necessarily laterals for an Orwico system.
Right, but it's going to have a drain pipe that
would have to have
water comes up.
It would have to be, any effluent from any system would have to contain on the property. And so it seems like there's plenty of room out there. Any discharge would have to meet the state or county code for setback from property line. If there is effluent running off property on a neighboring property, that would be a violation, but that we've never got received a complaint of effluent running off the property. This is a new system. We've got a complaint on it. I'm sure you probably have a maintenance agreement with the. So it is. If there's a maintenance agreement, it is an aeration system. I remember when this was applied for, and so I don't see any. As far as I know, there were no problems with the private sewer system whatsoever. Never received one complaint. Like I said, the system's only maybe 2 years old.
We're approaching a 1 year now.
I was just wondering if, with the acreage that he's got, if it's a problem for this man, it sounds like he wants to fix it. Is there a way to redirect, that discharge line?
I'm not
going to
go
the
right way.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm just trying to. Walnut tree, the rest of the tree is true fine, but I guess walnut tree is a different breed. It didn't take whatever was not a septic tank, killed the trees.
This is not
a system. Yeah, all new system here now.
Your stuff done correct.
Okay.
I just wanted to say one of the reasons why we put in a new system is because the previous system was in a huge disrepair. And so that easily could have been part of the problem, is that it wasn't draining properly.
Thank you.
What's the name and how many people?
The correct number.
We had it.
It would have been decided to be the code of how many people could estimate. I remember working on that. How many people would be at the building and possibly using the facility, and their state code requirements per person, per gallon that would be used. And so we decided for that, the final numbers that were supplied to us. And it's like I said, we've never had any issue with the system as far as I know. The inspection went fine for installation. They're required to have a 2-year maintenance agreement you know, it's far after initial installation, I would suggest you continue the any maintenance agreement you have. We've never seen receive a single complaint.
I just want to ask the gentleman, with the complaint, is the larger issue is the septic system or the traffic, or is this the complaint is about the growth of this
the septic, yeah, that's pure as far as I got the bonnet trees down there. So.
We'll be
the building that could possibly go on is after it's rezoned. But every time this thing comes up, it gets stretched out more and more. When it was a church, it should have been done. It wasn't zoned for business out there. You know, but all the neighbors after got rezoned.
Yeah, I think he's answered pretty much the questions with that new septic. It isn't really a septic system, it's an aeration system.
I understand what happened. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. You know,
as Noel said earlier, if they walk away from this and business fails, anything that's new, it would have to come back. This is a plant. This is suited for their use. I mean, any other use would have to be, they'd have to come back and go through this whole process again. I mean, they're going to be allowed to do the amusement facility that they already are doing, and they're going to be allowed to have a miniature golf course and their ice cream shop. That's all that's going to be allowed in the process.
What if you want to put a go-kart there?
No.
You'd have to come back and amend this plan district. So it's what they're planning and doing right now, or what they're already doing, or what they're doing. That's all that's going to be allowed.
Assuming it's going to be put, we have no issue, but everything gets stretched on, all of a sudden, we're hearing that there's going to be a building.
Basically what they're doing now, and it's been brought forth in
I'd like to address Mr. Schumacher. Mr. Schumacher, you did receive my letter, correct? Do you have my phone number directly on my cell phone? And so that is, you can call me anytime you want, man.
I just saw on your letter you said something about you assumed that was an agriculture firm, Patrick. Well, that was trying to be a business. Oh, that one time that was a neighbor's. That stopped that.
Okay. No further comments. Hearing Z22-0050 is closed.
Thank you
all for your participation. Next hearing is filed Z22-0051, petition of Adam Honiger, applicant on behalf of Keith and Joy Honiger, owners of record, requesting a special use permit as per 93.023 Section D, Item 28 and 40 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance, in order to have a sales yard and agritorium operation on site. Also requested a variance as per 93.117 Section C, Item 1, in order to have up to 10 square feet of signage instead of the 4 square feet allowed. This is located in A Agricultural District in Edwardsville Township, along Old Troy Road, Glen Carbon, Illinois, Madison County Board Number 24, published in Edwardsville Intelligencer on June 11, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant please address the board? Yeah, speaker, please get right close to the mic.
There you go. Yes, my name is Adam Honiger. And earlier this year, my wife and I started a new small business called Woven Flower House, which is a flower farm and florist. The flower farm is set on a small portion of my family's farm, owned by my parents, Keith and Joy Honiger, along Old Troy Road. And for the flower farm operation, we set aside 2.5 acres along Old Troy Road that we planted in a cover crop, some field-grown flowers, and some flower beds. And coming out of COVID lockdown, we had a desire to share beauty and joy with our community by growing flowers in a way that increases wellness for the community, for the land, for bees and other pollinators. For the permit specifically, we applied for the Seals Garden permit to allow us to be able to sell flowers and other local products at the farm stand. Without the Seals Garden permit, we are only allowed to sell products that we grow on site, which would require us to have a larger farm operation than we intend to have. We want to be able to use the flowers in our arrangements that we buy from other local farmers and from the flower market in St. Louis. And the Seals Garden permit would allow us to do that. Additionally, we would like to reduce the varieties of flowers that we grow ourselves so we get some other flowers locally from the farmers. And we also would like to offer other local products like honey or eggs at the farm stand for the residents of the community, which wouldn't be possible without the Seals Garden permit. And then for the agritourism permit, we would like to offer a response to offer some of these options in the future, including floral design workshops, farm tours, school field trips, family days, you pick flowers, and other items that would fall under the agritourism operation. It should be noted, I think, that the flower farm is adjacent to my parents' house, and so any concern for safety or traffic or other concerns that might be brought up is very much part of the concern as well. And so our plan is to offer these activities on select days and times in which we invite people on the farm. And most activities for the agritourism permit would actually require pre-registration. And we don't have any plans or desires to become a large-scale operation like Eckerd's or anything like that. At most, we might use 5 or 6 acres. Most flower farm operations are 5 acres or less.
I have a question. How long have you been doing this?
We just started this year, so we started this in February.
February has been the first time. Have you been involved in the florist business before?
My wife has been taking floral design classes and has been doing flowers for weddings for a number of years. She did our wedding 2 years ago. But not professionally, no. It's usually for family and friends, and it's only just recently that she started doing it.
Okay, so this will be kind of a hobby instead of basically an income?
Correct, yeah. I have an off-farm job as a primary source of income. Again, I guess right now you could probably classify it more as a hobby than a business. But, you know, we would like to increase the business as years go on. But, yeah.
Okay, so you plan on this being a business then? Down the road. I mean, you're hoping that it generates enough to be a business.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from community members who have stopped at the farm stand already to purchase flowers that we have for sale. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be a lot of interest and excitement about having a flower farm in town. Mm-hmm. So we're hopeful that it will become a business as well.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me like Keller does with their stands and their farming stuff. I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Board, any other questions? If not, anyone in the audience wishing to speak?
Yes, my name is Brian Smith. I'm with the Evansville HOA. When we first started getting letters to our neighbors regarding this, there was a lot of flurry in our neighborhood. We didn't really fully understand what the request was. We just saw the entire parcel was requested for the agritourism. And there was a lot of questions about how that was going to impact our neighborhood and the greater area around us and other neighborhoods that are also around this area. You know, the way he presents it, you know, a number of neighbors have talked to him and said, yeah, this actually does sound like a nice idea, but I don't have a good amount of information to provide to my neighbors that have concerns to relieve their fears, right? It is, they heard like Eckerd's. And that's a big industry, and he said that's not their aspiration. So definitely we would like some more communication on, you know, what are his plans and, you know, how do we get behind it as a neighborhood to support him versus, you know, I've got neighbors that if this does grow big, you know, they have a potential real impact at home values. So I don't know what to bring back to my neighborhood to relieve my neighbor's concerns.
Next week today? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you, Brian, for being here. We initially, when we applied to these permits, like I mentioned, we're still small. And most of the residences in Evansville and Savannah Crossing are hundreds of yards away from our little operation right now. So we didn't really foresee a lot of questions being brought up by applying for the permit. But since hearing the questions and things, it's understandable. And so we tried to put together a document over the weekend, and we actually met with some of the neighbors. We offered an opportunity for them to come to the farm to talk to us about our plans. And so we have a document available for the neighboring communities to read about our plans and why we applied for the permit. So if you haven't seen that yet, Brian, I don't know what to get you that information.
That'd be fantastic. I'd love to be able to share that with my neighbors.
So is your concern mainly the amount of acreage that he's planning on using? Is this limited? Because I was a little confused about the acreage myself.
Yeah, so I'll speak to that a little bit. So, yeah, the parcel is 65 acres, and it's just not subdivided at all. So we have no intention on using all 65 acres. It would be, at most, if we hit a big, quote-unquote, it would be 5 or 6 acres off of Old Troy Road right there on the road. Right now, I mean, you can see, I don't know if you can see the diagram very well, but we're essentially, you know, less than a quarter of an acre right there at the entrance.
Right. But in order to, you know, appease their concerns, there's no way to really say it's a portion of that 65. It has to just basically be the whole 65. Okay. All right. I understand.
Board, anyone in the audience have any comments?
Can you hear me? My name is Mary Buck. I actually live right across the street from where one of the adjacent wood lines is. Again, like you said, I'm part of the HOA as well, just trying to gather information to make an important decision whether you support or not. I agree. I think the large farm portion sounds lovely. My concern comes with the agritourism operation. The information that I have gathered, I've been emailed regulations for agritourism, and it sounds okay what they're doing now, but there's no guarantee that that is where it will stay. I'm sure you guys have all had the regulations and know very well. This could eventually become something a lot bigger. What happens is one of my questions is if they are done with the farm, the flower business, it's now zoned agritourism operation, what does that do to the future of this? Does that then give everyone a free pass to work within these regulations where it could include camping, fishing, hiking, tours, horseback riding, petting zoo, alcohol is allowed on these sites. There's no real big guarantee that this is what it will stay. And again, I'm information gathering. I'm not an expert. This. I just have immediate concerns, especially for the safety of my children that live across the street, the safety of the children in all of the neighborhoods, our safety. I mean, the list goes on. I just don't have enough information. We weren't given any plans, and it sounds like this special variation for the agritourism operation can be granted with no plans. And that's concerning.
The special use permit, though, will be just for their use. If they sell, like she's saying, that special use doesn't go to the new owner.
That's right.
Right? So there would be no new owner would use that special use permit.
And what's the guarantee that they say now it's going to be this small flower business? What's the guarantee that they won't be able to do any of the above on these regulations? What's the guarantee that if it starts out as the flower farm that then, yes, now they don't want to expand to a bigger operation, what's the guarantee that they couldn't? To me, it sounds like they could be granted this agritourism operation without any plans and the potential that this is what we want. There's just no guarantees right now. I think feel like if we're granting a special variation for agritourism operation, there should be solid plans in place. It shouldn't just be, this is what I think it's going to be. I think this is what I want it to be. Especially when we're abutting neighborhoods. We just built this home last year. We planned this. This was supposed to be our forever home.
You said you researched these. Are there several of these? I mean, are there any other? I'm not familiar with it, actually. So when you researched it, did you find lots of them in the area? Or?
I know Wrinkle Farms is just down the street. There's Eckerd's. There's another one in Belleville. I'm just saying, I'm not saying I'm completely opposed to it, but what's the guarantee that they can't expand into something larger scale like Eckerd's? And then we have bounce houses, rides. There's just a lot that you can't do with this. And what's the guarantee that it will stay a flower farm operation? From my understanding that I got from the city was, within these regulations, they can do whatever they want when they are granted this special variation.
Would there be any way to section all 5 acres of that property to where it could just be used for that?
They'd have to do subdivided.
It could not be a one-time split.
It could.
That would be up to MasterClass to determine. They have to look at if the property is split before and all these other things.
Right, right. But it's possible.
It could possibly be split. Yeah.
Which would make me feel better, because as it stands now, I can look out of my driveway and across the street. I could have potentially. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But there is nothing to stop a camping site right there or people hiking through that area.
Yeah.
That is literally across the street. And again, this would like to be my forever home, but it's a big safety issue. And the thought of me having to sell my home with that across the street, I don't see happening.
Any other comments?
If you divided the parcel, as you mentioned, it would still be across the street, right? You're in Huntsville. Are you in Huntsville Place or Union Center?
I'm on Austin.
Oh, is that a Evans?
No.
Okay. I was just saying that it's still going to be kind of 5 or so acres on the road, is kind of what we're doing. And about the guarantees, you know, like we started the business this year, we're figuring things out. We can't predict the future. I can tell you what our plans are now, what our hopes would be, you know, our vision of it would be no more than 5 or 6 acres, like as I mentioned. And that's the main point.
And that's my big concern, is there are no guarantees right now, unfortunately.
Would you entertain a one-time split of 5 acres?
I can't.
If it was possible.
That would be my parents. I mean, it's their property, right?
I'm just asking.
And again, to make clear, I'm happy with them selling flowers. It is the agritourism operation where I have to pick up, because there are no guarantees.
Sorry, maybe just one last thing I kind of remember referencing. The reason that I can't speak to the future and guarantees, but I can speak to the reason that we want to apply for the permit now. And we want to apply for it now to kind of combine it with the sales yard permit, because it's a process, right? And we want to plan for the future. And the main things that we do want to offer are floral design workshops. We want to offer educational opportunities for farm tours. We want to offer maybe you pick peony flowers, you know. These are the things that fall under the agritourism permit, and the only way to be able to do those things is to apply for this agritourism permit.
I have a comment there. The lady seems to think this maybe wouldn't be necessary, this business, because there are so many different foods, like especially flowers and that type of thing.
So actually there aren't any. Frinkle's Pumpkin Farm down the street, also on Old Troy Road, sells pumpkins. I think he's doing well. his operation is limited, you know, to the pumpkin season. Eckerd's, you know, down in Belleville and Shiloh, I believe they are. They're a large scale operation, they do totally different things. The flower farm is unique in our area, and there are other local flower farmers. Mostly they're doing it at their house, or they sell only to florists.
So you think this is the only way you can go forward is with an SUP, a special use?
Well, the special use permit allows us to do these other things that we want to be able to do, provide these other products at the farm stand, eggs, honey, and other flowers that we require elsewhere. Otherwise, we'd have to do it all on site. If we grew our own honey, if we raise our own bees, right, if we raise our own chickens and had all of these things on site, we'd be able to do it within the confines of the agricultural land that we do now.
With the special use permit, you have to have a special reason that you think this is necessary for the public. For this lady here, she's concerned about different issues, you know.
Yeah, I think the main concern is the agritourism aspect of the special use permit that we're applying for, and how big of an operation it can get.
So no other way you can do this other than a special use permit?
I'm sorry,
there's no other way you can do it except for a special use permit?
Correct, yeah, there's no other way that we can offer the things that we intend to do without the special use permit.
I just don't know. And what would you say to the neighbors about this sky's the limit growth that may or may not occur? How would you address? I have a home, and the businesses keep growing and growing and growing. How far do we go? At what point? How would you tell me that this won't grow beyond the scope of our neighborhood?
Yeah, the only thing I can say to that is that our big vision, hopes and dreams would be 5 or 6 acres right on Old Troy Road. It doesn't get bigger than that as far as we can see it currently today. And then the other thing that I would say is that, as I mentioned, my parents live the closest to the operation that we are, running out of our farm and then also intend to use these permits for. And so safety concerns, screening, all of these. How big does it get? How many people are coming? Or what kind of people are coming? All these other concerns that are valid are concerns for first and foremost because we live on site.
Files.
I'm Lindy Conner, co-owner of the business. And I want to say that every farmer has a different personality. And I have really enjoyed meeting the community members that have come by. And I would love our farm to be a place where community members or school children are welcome to come and that we can teach them, educate them, and talk with them about what we do. And that seems to be a unique, one unique reason why we need the agritourism permit, to welcome people onto our farm and to discuss what we do and to meet them and have them meet with us to see how it works and how things grow. And so I think that's quite unique to our personality as farmers.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Diane Hoffman.
Speak it into it right into the mic, please.
Can you hear me? I'm Diane Hoffman. I'm a property owner. And my husband and I are totally okay with the farm stand. I understand that. I think our concern is more of when it's talking about future expansion. What's the timing of that? Is that next year, 5 years? What is your plan for that? And then knowing that your backyard is what is now the farm field and what you look out to, and then to start looking out into a parking lot, I think And according to the regulations of agritourism, it's more of, are they going to go ahead and provide screening, whether that's a fence or a tree, of the parking lot from the residents? And how large of a parking lot is it?
Are you listening to me to answer that? Our intention would be to meet the requirements of the special use permit for agritourism. So it does mention in that permit, or within that ordinance, you know, certain things that we do have to meet. And so prior to operating under the agritourism permit portion, or as an agritourism operation, yeah, we need to have those things in place and yes.
At this point, hearing Z22-0051 is closed.
I'll try to speak loud.
She has something to say.
Good evening. My name is Kim Osmer, and I also live on Austin Court. I have a huge amount of respect for your parents. They helped us a lot when we had the flood over in our cul-de-sac. My only question that I had was what's going to happen with the water runoff once we start to establish new topography there, because we used to have a lake created in our, like a rain today would have created probably 4 inches of water or higher in that area. So once you start to develop that, just curious as to what would happen. Are there any studies on what the water runoff would be for that? The other thing would be, is it possible to put a big variance between where the houses, backyards end and where your operation starts, just to, so it doesn't feel so on top of the community, because we have paid, you know, quite a bit of money for those homes there. Thank you.
Thank you. When you look at the parcel at the top image, you can see that my parents' house parcel actually extends back along most of the houses in Ebbets. And so, I mentioned like a buffer zone, that would be several hundred feet. I don't know the exact distance, but that would not be part of the flower farm. You know, the parcel that we're working on right now is separate from that. So that would be a buffer. And then as far as drainage goes, you know, any sort of structure or building that we would put up in the future would be done to code, and, you know, there's, I'm not an expert in construction, but there would be requirements and drainage considerations shifting to the farm. From a farming operation, we're very much we're interested mostly in water staying on site. We want the water to grow, the water to stay put. One of our primary values is being regenerative and low impact. Right? So those considerations are also water on site.
I just want to say really quickly, my name is Nathan Nicholas. I also live on Austin Court, right by the house, actually. I was curious about what they had planned and everything as well, like my other neighbors. So I went to the meeting on Sunday to talk to them, and I completely support what they're trying to do. And that's all. Thanks.
So I have two letters to read that were sent in. Okay. The first one says, thank you for your time allowing me to propose my questions related to the application request for Adam Honegger, file number C220051, as I was a resident and received a letter. I will not be able to attend due to prior obligations. However, I wanted to submit my questions ahead of time for the hearing.
Can you please explain the current operational intent as well as any other future intent of the use of the land that is now under consideration for being rezoned to agritourism? And I think a lot of this is just people don't know exactly, and I think you're explaining most of this, but I have to be clear. Are there any drafted plot plans, drafted designs made ready to review a current or future intent of the considered? Will they be made public for review? Three, while research shows that agritourism has the potential to help revitalize rural economies, educate the public about agriculture, and preserve agricultural heritage operations like this, it also increases pollution through traffic emissions, littering, increased sewage production, privacy concerns, increased threat, theft, risk of liability for accidents and noise. What are the plans to mitigate exposure to these risks to the adjacent subdivisions? Four, will this land be considered commercial? And if minds are changed on how the initial use of the land will be, will it be free will to decide what it's used for? Five, what is the effective date of when the agritourism operation will be up and running? Six, what parameters are in place to ensure the privacy of the adjacent subdivision homeowners who will be impacted by this operation? Seven, what is the traffic volume anticipated for said agritourism operation? Eight, how will this potentially decrease the value of homes ranging from $500,000 to $1 million in EBITs as well as those adjacent subdivisions? Nine, what are the safety precautions being taken from when visitors of the subdivisions so close? 10, how will this impact residential taxes? Thank you, Christy Fussell. And the other one, questions and comments regarding ZBA file number Z220051. I'm concerned about the agritourism operation permit being combined with the sales yard permit. There are no details describing what the agritourism might include other than mention of farm tours, workshops, or a UPIC operation, or other possible agritourism activities. Farm tours would require some sort of a farm to be erected, or at least a type or types of plants or perhaps animals to be on the property. Plus, there would be some sort of roads or paths, and probably vehicular conveyances necessary. Workshops, would they be held in the sales yard area, or would they require other buildings? UPIC, what types of fruits and or vegetables would be included? People picking produce would be close to many houses in the adjacent housing areas. There would have to be some sort of procedures for people to get to the produce to be picked, company conveyances, individual vehicles, or foot traffic. This could cause noise and various disruptions to people who live there. There might be a concern about security of homes or other possible allowable agritourism activities. What might be the reference to 93.105 agritourism section A presents a list of possible things, including camping and picnicking, wagon/sleigh rides, and petting zoo. And hours of operation says it shall be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Sunday. The petition mentions a thriving and beautiful flower farm with selected agritourism activities will boost the value and allure of the neighborhood. This depends upon many factors, only one of which is flowers past their prime may not be beautiful. I believe that there needs to be a detailed plan describing the agritourism operation before a special use permit can be considered for it. From Joseph McFitch. And just to remind the zoning board that you do have the ability to approve ones of the special use permits and not the agritourism ones, just throwing that out there as just so that you're aware of all your options.
At this time, Z22-0051 is closed. File Z22-0052, a petition of Michael Carlson, applicant on behalf of Justin and Margarita Litkin, owner of record, requesting a variance as per 93.023 Section B, Item 2 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance in order to construct an attached garage addition to an existing home that would be 26 feet from the south property line instead of the required 50 feet. This is located in the May Agriculture District in Pin Oak Township at 8759 Maple Grove Road, Edwardsville, Illinois, County Board District Number 11. published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on July 11, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would the applicant please address the board?
My name is Justin Lake, and I am actually the property owner. Michael Carlson is my brother-in-law. He's an engineer, so he's kind of one that's kind of taking the lead for us on this. We bought this property in December, and as you can, to the northeast of us is Swan Meadow Subdivision, a nice newer subdivision, concrete streets, bigger houses. And we're just kind of really looking to help increase the aesthetics of our house, which also help keep the property values up. Currently, as you can see on both of the photos of the house, there is an old white tin shed. It's a little more dilapidated, doesn't really work as well, so we're really looking to add the addition straight onto the house, give us access right into the house, don't have to worry about running out in the rain. So if you guys have any questions, I would gladly answer them.
Board, any questions? Audience, any questions? If not, Z220052 is closed. Thank you. Are there any citizens wishing to address the board about anything else? Yes, go ahead.
We had some folks who could not come tonight that wanted to send a letter. Can they still send a letter with their opinion?
Yes. Yes.
And who would they direct that to?
Me.
Okay. The letter reader. Okay. Thank you.
I guess we don't have any unfinished business because we've already done that. All right, at this time we will have roll call as we go through these. We'll start with Z22-0048, the petition of Michael Mullen. Just a minute. Well,
they already did.
Well, we can vote on first, or?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we have two of these we just heard were unfinished business from last meeting, so we'll vote on them first. The first one is Z220043, petition of Blake Tourville. Call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Second.
Second.
Motion made to approve and second. We'll have a roll call. Thomas Ambrose?
Yes.
Nicholas Quinn?
Yes.
George Ellis?
Yes.
Mary Good?
Yes.
Cedric Earlwood?
Yes.
Approved. The Z22-0043. Petition of I-55 RV Park and Campground LLC. Motion?
That's 0045, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 045. What did I say? Okay, 45. Okay, I'm sorry. Make a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Roll call, Thomas Ambrose?
Yes.
Nicholas Cohen?
Yes.
George Ellis?
Yes.
Mary Good?
Yes.
Cedric Herberg?
Yes.
Okay. Approved. Z22-0048, petition of Mike Mullen. Call for a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
Motion made and seconded to approve. Roll call. Thomas?
Yes.
Nicholas?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Cedric?
Yes.
Approved. Z22-0049, petition of Mike Moniger on behalf of Max Moniger. Call for a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve. Roll call. Thomas?
Yes.
Nicholas?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Cedric? Cedric? Vote no. Okay. Motion approved. Z22-0050, petition of Justin and Hillary McLaughlin. Call for a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve. Roll call. Thomas?
No.
Nicholas?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Cedric?
No.
Motion?
5-0.
Yes. Motion approved. Z22-0051, petition of Adam Honiger on behalf of Keith and Joey Honiger. Call for motion.
I'll make a motion.
Approved. What's your motion, Cedric? Motion to approve, second.
I'll second.
Motion made to approve and second. Roll call. Thomas?
No.
Nicholas?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Cedric?
No.
Motion approved. Z22-0052, petition of Michael Carlson on behalf of Justin and Litkin. Call for a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve. Roll call. Thomas?
Yes.
Nicholas?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Cedric?
Yes.
Motion approved. Any coordinator's report? Okay.
So, we're all in New York City here. We spoke to the Building and Zoning Committee next Thursday, August 4th. It will be held in a similar manner to this meeting. It will be at 5 o'clock in this room. If you didn't have opposition and asked easily, then there's no really reason to come. But if you did have opposition, I would suggest showing up so that you can address the committee yourselves. And then it will go to the county board for a final decision on Wednesday, August 17th.
Yes.
5 p.m. 5 p.m. Yes.
Thursday, right here.
Yes. And if you want to come to the county board meeting on the 17th, you do have to request to address the board ahead of time, and you do that through the county board office.
They only take the first 5 people and sign up to speak. As well, at the county board. But next week, you'll be able to talk here.
Just, same.
You'll be county board members too.
Okay. If not, call for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
I second.
Motion made and approved. Thank you all for participating. Took a little longer than usual, but that's good.
Be great.